Well, to tell you the truth, tuning the instrument that I play is a challenge. I can't always tell if I'm in tune or out of tune. I can't remember the names of the strings. I mean, there are so many of them. I know no tunes or very few tunes on my instrument, and I really struggle to play a tune all the way through. I play the instrument that you put under your chin, hold with your shoulder, and with your right hand, hold the neck of the instrument. Except I play a cello. It's very difficult, and I'm going to learn how to do that because I'm going to take a class that's coming up very shortly. They tell me I should take a beginner's class, but I'm ready for a master class. I know I am. The Maiden Creek Old Time Music Festival is coming our way Sunday, July 29th at Myers Grove in Blandin, Pennsylvania. And we have our guest today, our Betty Druckenmiller, who is a fiddle player, and Norm Williams, who is a dulcimer player. And I need to know what the difference between a lap dulcimer, a hammer dulcimer, and a mountain dulcimer are. And he's going to tell us all about it.
Among other things.
I am George Miller, and I remain so. And along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we are here with you at WDIY Allentown, the Lehigh Valley Art Salon. And welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Nice being here.
Did you know you were going to have to explain all this so quickly?
Well, I suspected almost anything.
I believe this is a speech Norm could make.
Really?
Well, we're going to ask him later on, but we want to find out more about Maiden Creek Old Time Music Festival.
Now, Maiden Creek Old Time Music Festival is in its fourth year, is that right?
That's right. That's correct. In our fourth year. We optimistically called the first one the first annual. So we knew from the beginning this was something we wanted to keep doing.
And we were talking a little bit earlier. It's interesting to me. I've not been, and I think I just may have to get there Sunday. A couple of things were interesting to me. Myers Grove, I don't know the area. We got talking a little bit about the setting, which sounds lovely and very different than other experiences I've had with music festivals, as well as the way you've structured the event and the way and the community you create and the magic you make that day.
Well, Myers Grove is a great little grove. Uh-huh. I think it was the old Myers Bread Company that originally owned it.
Oh.
And had their... Mm-hmm. company ventures there.
Okay.
It is now taken over by the Lions Club of Blandin.
Mm-hmm.
And they run it and do a fabulous job. It's a lot of little pavilions and kind of a stage amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
Set in a grove, so it really is just very pleasant. And we have our own train that runs through several times during the day,
really?
Which is really awesome for an old time festival.
Yeah, we have shade. We have indoor plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
We have food on site, which mm-hmm. is very nice. The Lions are kind enough. They said the first year, now, would you mind, could we cook for you? Or would you guys like to handle that? It's like, whoa, one more thing we don't have to worry about.
Sausage sandwiches to die for and mm-hmm. homemade ice cream.
Homemade
tough
ice
to beat.
Oh,
that's true.
Oh.
They do that for us every year. So they provide the food concession and rent the grove, and part of the income from the festival in that way goes to benefit their fundraising for mm-hmm. for the community that they serve out in Berks County. Blandin is about 7 miles west of Kutztown,
okay.
on the out toward Reading, southwest maybe a little more accurately. And it's not hard to get to. The setting is just lovely, and there is shade. And so many festivals, you sit in lawn chairs on a sunny hill and bake in the sunshine, and you won't have to do that if you come to Maiden Creek.
And it sounds like the perfect atmosphere for the music and for the kind of day, because I was asking earlier, I don't play. I'm not a musician, but I'm an appreciator of, and especially of old time. The day is so full of workshops and master classes that we're going to talk about in a moment. And it's such an experience for the musician to learn and to be in a community of musicians. But throughout the day, there's also mini concerts. The day will wrap up with everyone, all the teachers on stage. So I was thinking, if I'm going out, if I'm unfortunately not a musician yet, What will I find when I get there? What's the day like?
Well, first, we could turn you into one.
That's
because there are several workshops that are absolutely no experience needed.
Really?
She handles just spoons at home, actually.
Well, you could do that,
and
Norm could teach you
to play.
Norm would give you a dulcimer tune in an hour, I'm pretty sure. Norm, you want to talk a little bit about how we've planned out the day?
Well, we planned out the day in terms of starting the day, actually, with beginning classes in guitar, lap, dulcimer, and mm-hmm. then a singing class, Southern Cold Songs. Bob Heyer, who's coming to us from Wheeling, West Virginia, one of our out-of-staters, has a real knowledge of that. There are also beginning classes in banjo a little bit later in the day, a beginning fiddle, bass from scratch. You could be a bass player in about 10 minutes.
We always need more bass players.
But it's scheduled so that we start at 10 in the morning. Classes are kind of spaced out through the day on the hour so that folks can get a little learning in and then be able to practice beyond that, play with other folks. Scattered throughout that will be concerts for folks who are non-musicians. We often have folks that tag along, a spouse who wants to keep an eye on their husband or
their
wife who might
friend.
Buy just another instrument if they're not careful. Or, you know, and we have concerts for them so that they can have something to listen to. And also for folks just to get a taste for the music because there's a lot of different flavors of old time. It's not just one kind of style. There are flavors that get scattered around with the varying instruments and the varying groups, so it's really nice.
It is largely, and when we started, for sure, a hands-on experience.
Yeah.
So when you go to Philly Folk and they say a workshop, there's 20,000 people on the hill and nobody plays anything except the people on stage. But we're encouraging people to bring instruments, to take them out of the cases, learn a new fiddle tune, study with a master musician, or just try a cardboard dulcimer for the first time. So we have lots of levels and hands-on learning opportunities. The concerts were a new thing this year, and we're looking to see how that works out for people who aren't playing or aren't comfortable playing in front of others yet.
may I ask, you know, about the dulcimer, because Betty just brought up something and she said, what did you call it, a cardboard dulcimer?
Yes.
Now wait a minute now, Norm, what's the difference between all of these?
Well, there's no difference. You mentioned earlier lap dulcimer, mountain dulcimer. It's the same instrument. It's an instrument that descends from German and Norwegian roots. And came to this country with immigrants as they moved in, and particularly in Pennsylvania. The German Scheitholt was brought by the German folk who came into Pennsylvania, known as the Pennsylvania Dutch for any of the uninitiated out there. That was adapted into what we now call the mountain dulcimer. As people move from Pennsylvania into the mountains, move south into the mountains, the Scots in particular, and a lot of Germans went down for mining and whatnot, that instrument kind of went along with them.
I see.
And it stayed rooted in the Appalachians for quite a while because of the culture just didn't move. Mm-hmm. So the instrument was kind of preserved along with the old music. And it's really neat. What's neat is you can find good examples of the mountain dulcimer in its earliest forms down at the Doylestown Museum, Mercer Museum. There are several instruments on display there that were collected, and that's pretty neat.
Do they all sound the same, or are they all played the same?
Similar.
Hammered dulcimer, of course, is with little...
Hammered dulcimer is a whole different thing. Okay. Hammered dulcimer comes from the Middle East. It's thousands of years old. It originated in... what we call Syria today, it is basically like looking at the inside of a piano.
Oh, okay.
The hammers are played by hand rather than on a piano. The hammers are all connected to little levers and play the keys.
Great.
So it's a little different that way.
Good.
Almost every culture has a form of hammered dulcimer.
Which is different, of course, than an auto harp, is it not?
Very
right.
Different.
An auto harp is a lot of strings that you have to tune, but they invented buttons so that if you need a G chord, you press the G chord button and you strum. The strumming is really where the art comes in, but you automatically have the strings sounding that make the G chord. I wish someone would do that for fiddle. It would have made it a lot easier to learn.
Automatic chording. But they all come from the zither family. Interestingly, the hammer dulcimer, the mountain dulcimer, the auto harp are all from the zither family. And that simply means that the strings run across the entire length of the instrument, like a piano. That's part of the zither family.
Yeah.
The strings go across the entire length of the instrument.
Well, I'm certainly going to give up the cello and start the dulcimer.
You'd be wise to do so.
The cello would give you a good start on the fiddle because, of course, we don't have frets.
course.
That's the thing. In a dulcimer, generally they do, I guess.
We have some.
Have some frets. And guitars and banjos do. Fiddles, we're on our own with where our fingers go. And that was a challenge for me as someone who had played woodwinds. Learning where the fingers go is really about half the battle. Mm-hmm. And then working on the bow, well, maybe that's three quarters. And so if you add that up, you get more than one.
Well, don't get us started because we could talk all night.
I'm glad to do that.
And old time, you were talking about the roots of the instruments. Old time music itself, we were saying earlier, is Appalachian and the mix that is, which is kind of Irish initially,
right.
Then mixing with Scotch.
Probably started, and there's some tunes that are really directly Irish tunes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, here it's Have You Ever Seen the Devil, Uncle Joe, and in Ireland it's Miss McLeod's Reel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it can be traced really directly, but it got all mixed up, some say with American Indian, and for sure with the German music.
Uh-huh.
The farther south you go, the more of an African influence there is, till the music from Alabama sounds radically different from the music that was played in Western Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very nice mix, but largely it's dance music. A lot of what we play for fun was played for dances and social events in the community. And so it has the rhythm and the structure that goes with whatever dance went with it.
And that socialness, something else that was it's interesting, I think, to immerse yourself in a day of live music. You said when you talk to young people, it's so hard for them to imagine that music only being available live. And what would that be like in a community? And what does that mean in terms of why do you want to learn to play? And why do you want to find a musician? And
it is a different way of looking at things. For a kid who's now 8 and can hold an iPod in
right.
his hand and access 50,000 tunes.
Yeah.
To think about what it was like to live in a small community like Quiet Valley Farm, where
mm-hmm.
we played last weekend,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
the only way you could have music was to be a musician
mm-hmm.
or know somebody who played and go and get them and bring them for your dance or your wedding or whatever you needed music for in the community. So it was therapy, it was dance, it was a way to celebrate
mm-hmm.
or to share sadness.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole lot of different things long before there was radio or recordings to save the music.
We're going to share a lot more discussion, certainly, with you. We want to also play a small selection, at least one band selection, or a portion of it, as we go out. And we will be joining you in just a few moments. The name of the piece that we will be playing, of course, is Waynesboro. Does that have a particular reason why it's called Waynesboro?
It was the name that the fiddler, the family that it was collected from in West Virginia, that's what they called it. And oddly enough, there is no Waynesboro in West Virginia, although there's one in Ohio and Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, we'll choose the Pennsylvania one. this is WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm George Miller, and along with me is, of course, my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle. We're talking to Betty Druckenmiller. Norm Williams, and hiding around the corner, away from the microphone, is Tom Druckenmiller, whom you all know, I am sure. We'll be right back after this very important message.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Philadelphia Museum of Art, presenting Gauguin, Cézanne, and Matisse, Visions of Arcadia, in which the masters and their contemporaries evoke the bliss of an earthly paradise. On view starting June 20th. Tickets at philomuseum.org.
Nothing like old-time music. Truly, there isn't. I'm in love with it myself. What you just heard is Maiden Creek Waltz, and it was written by local professional and musician Stacy Bechtel. And I'm sure it has something to do with the Maiden Creek Old-Time Music Festival.
What are the odds?
Well, the odds are pretty high, except Stacy wrote it as she's a fine musician, and mm-hmm. she's a real student of all kinds of music. Was learning to play fiddle and wrote this little tune, and gradually, in sort of a collaborative thing, it got the key changed and the time signature changed. And then last summer or the summer before, we asked her, could we name it Maiden Creek Waltz?
Oh, okay.
It was called Stacy's Tune before that. And so now we have a festival, a T-shirt, food vendors. We have a waltz. So we're getting pretty close to being like a major league festival, I guess.
Yes, I imagine so.
I have to ask before we move on. I know there's more important things to talk about, but I love the animals in the T-shirt. We can't show our listening audience,
which
is tragic.
I was going to wear my T-shirt.
Sure, hold it up to the microphone there, Norm. I will see what we can do.
It looks looking pretty good. Our second year, we decided that we would have a souvenir T-shirt for participants that they could purchase and take home as a memorabilia of the festival. And Paula Taylor, who's one of our co-founders, very artistic. She came up with the first year with a cat and a fiddle. Very, very cool, we thought. Well, the next year she decided she wanted more animals, so it was a rabbit with a banjo. Rabbit banjo players are out there.
He's very elegant in his vest.
Yes, he is very elegant. And this year we have a rather, I think, elegant goat playing guitar. And that's just the beginning. We have a whole series coming, which will eventually be a band on, who knows, maybe the 10th year T-shirt.
If we don't have a website for the festival, since mm-hmm. we're still trying to do this pretty low-key, but if you go to Maiden Creek Old Time Music Festival on Facebook, mm-hmm. there's a program and directions and a beautiful picture of the T-shirt, so mm-hmm. you can see what this goat looks like without actually viewing it over the radio.
And he is quite gorgeous. There's also a note that we can call Meadowood Music for more information as
absolutely.
Well at 610-916-1285. You do ticket pre-sales, but we were saying, is it with anything outdoors, weather, you know, tends to encourage a lot of folks to decide to join you?
We are rain or shine, although most of the events take place undercover.
Yep.
So if it's not a hurricane, we should be fine.
And this year, the weather forecast is saying right now that it's going to be like a very nice day, about 85.
Yep.
Oh, perfect.
And times of clouds and sun, but of course we're shaded, and that's nice. So a lot of people will decide kind of last minute, which I think is probably true of most arts events. There's, there's some examples. The master classes we're offering are by pre-registration, so calling Paula at that phone number would be a really good idea.
That's
She's
right.
keeping our list. So,
what was that phone number again? It was 610-916-1285 and ask for Paula, and I'm sure she'll be glad to help you. If you're pre-registering, it's $30 for the entire day. That includes all the workshops and the concert, mm-hmm. the mini concerts. If you choose to wait till Sunday, it's $35 at the gate, so mm-hmm. it's not going to kill you. We'd appreciate the extra $5. We don't mind. if you're just coming for the workshops, it's $30 on the day of and $25 in advance. If you just want to come for the evening concert, mm-hmm. which is a concert that features all the performers, all the faculty, that'll be $10, and that's in the evening starting at 7. Or is that 6:30?
Right. And you can also find some information on the Listen Live website, because in addition to partnering this year with WDIY, we've also been connected to Listen Live Music, and on their website is some of the bookkeeping parts and also some information about the festival, and that's www.listenlivemusic.org.
And one of the reasons if I wanted to call in and make sure that I didn't get left out would be if I wanted to register for the master class, particularly mm-hmm. because you have a special guest artist this year. And we were saying mm-hmm. earlier that although it happened once before kind of ad hoc, this is the first year you've planned a formal masterclass offering, and I think there's two sessions with Ken Kolodner.
Ken Kolodner is just a marvelous, marvelous musician, both with the hammered dulcimer, He's considered a virtuoso and probably one of the premier hammer dulcimer players in the country. But also, he's a wonderful fiddler. And he's been out here in the Valley before offering workshops. But this is a unique opportunity because he'll be offering two master classes, one for the hammer dulcimer player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've been playing hammer dulcimer for a while, and there are a lot of hammer dulcimer players in this area, by the way, a lot. Very, very surprising how many. But if, you know, you want to improve your skills, you really want to sharpen them, this is a workshop for you. It's an additional charge for the master class. It's a $30 charge. It goes directly to Ken, not to us. But it will really help to improve your skills. And he's going to focus on specifically arranging and backup techniques related to old-time tunes. But this is really for the fairly accomplished player, although an advanced intermediate could certainly learn from that. And similarly with the fiddle, Ken's going to be doing a fiddling master workshop, focusing on bow patterns and left-hand technique as it relates to old-time fiddling and advancing that technique and skill. So it's really going to be a great time. And in fact, I know a good Irish fiddler who's coming up from South Jersey. She's been wanting to learn old-time fiddle, because it is different. And she's real excited about coming for this class. So it's real neat.
Wonderful.
And it sounds like, as I was just going to say, pass it back to you, George. It does sound like, although it's a one-day event, there's no camping, et cetera, overnight element, you're really starting to draw not only the solid from the community here and celebrating that community at the festival, but also starting to get visitors to the community, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's true, that old-time music really is a community event. And I wanted to ask you about the Onion Jam that's being held at 5 to 5:30. Can you tell us a little about that, Betty?
We stole that idea from our friend Joan Newberry.
We only steal from the best.
We do steal from the best, and he's a fine banjo player. He lives in North Carolina. But what that is, it's kind of a more controlled way of having an old-time jam as they would have had it 30, 40 years ago, when they did not slow down for new people. They didn't show you how to hold anything. The old guys sat in the middle, and they played as fast as they could, and you hung on. So what will happen is the fastest players, the most experienced ones, will sit in the center, and other people are advised to layer themselves outward and trying to get a couple notes here. So it kind of replicates the experience of learning to play old-time music as it would have been done in a non-instructional setting, because they didn't slow down. They couldn't have slowed down if their lives depended on. They couldn't tell you, well, now you take your bow and do this. So we're just going to play tunes real fast for a while and encourage everybody. And what we did last year, which was really nice, we taught Maiden Creek Waltz to everyone. Okay. And so that was kind of a fitting end to that Onion Jam.
And people do join in, whether they have an instrument or not. I've seen them, like, tapping on their laps and bringing bones or spoons to keep the rhythm of what's going on.
Right.
Sure. One of the classes we offer is a little bit of flat foot dancing, and folks practice their skills in the Onion Jam on the outskirts of that, practice their flat footing. It was great.
Field jammers. Field jammers are welcome. I'm not familiar with the phrase.
Go out in the field with your instrument with a couple of friends and jam.
And play. And okay. So that's pretty much what we've done is a small facilities fee for them if they're not participating in the workshops.
Okay.
And some people will come and just hang out all day and not really sit down with their instrument in a workshop and just enjoy being in the company of other people who get it. Because for those of us who have to explain at work that this is what we do on the weekends or in the evenings, sometimes people look at you funny. Because, well, I think in a large way, a lot of kinds of music have become audience events where you go and you see somebody do it.
Yes.
The really terrible orchestra has brought some of that participation back to the Valley. And, you know, we're trying to do pretty much the same thing where you do it.
Yes,
you get the joy is in the doing. And so that's an important part.
Well, we're so glad you came and talked to us about it. It's the Maiden Creek Old Time Music Festival at Myers Grove Road in Blandin, Pennsylvania. It's Sunday, July the 29th. Starts at 10 a.m. in the morning with some workshops and then some mini concerts up to about 6. There are some evening concerts in the evening. There's some onion and field jamming, and you're going to have a wonderful time, believe me. Thank you, Betty, and thank you, Norm, for being here. And
thank
you,
so
Tom, wherever you
us.
Are. We want to thank also Steve Aronson for being with us on the on the dulcimer soundboard.
There you go.
And as we say, of course, and is natural, that everything is calm and rhythmic this week at my old festival at Myers Grove in Blandin, Pennsylvania, where the musicians are friendly, the spectators are willing, and the children are playing the spoons. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
The Dark Knight Rises is dark, very dark. And in view of the tragic event, July 19, opening night for The Dark Knight Rises in Aurora, Colorado, it's even difficult to review the film. I went to see The Dark Knight Rises with the tragic event in Colorado in mind. That horrific event, however, shouldn't keep you from seeing The Dark Knight Rises. However, The Dark Knight Rises itself, third by writer-director Christopher Nolan in his trilogy of the Batman series, might keep you away. The Dark Knight Rises is long, loud, and ultra-violent, with multiple plot lines that are confusing. The villain is called Bane. He's a kind of Hannibal Lecter-looking character with the voice of Darth Vader. The actors save the day in The Dark Knight Rises. Christian Bale is outstanding again as Batman. Except when he puts on the Batsuit, he sounds like Clint Eastwood. Anne Hathaway is cunningly clever as Catwoman. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is fine as a young Gotham policeman. Excellent in supporting roles are Morgan Freeman, Gary Oldman, Michael Caine, and Matthew Modine. The problem with The Dark Knight Rises is that there is just too much plot, too many explosions, and too little character development. And that's why The Dark Knight Rises sinks. The Dark Knight Rises is rated PG-13. At the box office, July 20, because of the tragic shootings that left 12 dead and approximately 58 injured at the Aurora, Colorado movie theater July 19th midnight screening of The Dark Knight Rises, Hollywood movie studios have followed the movie's distributor Warner Brothers lead and were to report box office numbers July 23, one day later than normal. However, it can be said that The Dark Knight Rises pulled in an estimated $160 million over the weekend to open at number one. Opening July 27 is The Watch. Ben Stiller leads a group of suburban neighborhood dads, including Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill, to form a block watch. They weren't prepared for the alien invasion, however. Step Up Revolution, an aspiring dancer's boyfriend's dance crew's neighborhood is threatened by her father's development plans. He wants to build houses. We're not making this up. If you don't want to see these films or The Dark Knight Rises, guess what? Moonrise Kingdom is still playing, as is To Rome with Love. They're at the Civic Theater of Allentown and ArtsQuest Cinema at Steelstacks. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.